Now, you are very welcome back. It is that time of year again with the dreaded E word because exam time is just around the corner and obviously very hard to ignore for families affected. And television presenter in the UK, Fern Britton, has said she feels a huge relief that her children are finished with exams now, that it was a hard, hard road. And it is also, of course, coming towards the end of school year with the long nights of homework and the stress and the tears. So are you somebody similar to Fern Britton? Are you kind of going, God, I'm glad that's behind me? Or are you about to face into a junior cert or a leaving cert or a college finals or indeed any, for some kids, any end of year exams is a stressful thing. And do you have to walk that walk with your kids on an ongoing basis? To discuss exam stress, how it affects the kids, but also how it affects the parents, I'm joined now by Dr. Jennifer Twyford-Hines, who's a clinical psychologist and chartered member of the Psychological Society of Ireland. Jennifer, you're very welcome.
Hi, Kira. Thank you.
How, I mean, like every year we hear there's about 60 odd thousand sit the leaving cert and there's something similar-ish sit the junior cert. So that's 120,000, but my rubbish maths. And then there's all the other exams too that some kids are stressing out about. Is this just something that half the families in the country every year this rolls around? Is there any kind of better way?
That's the thing. I mean, this is something that comes up each year. The way schools are focused more on a little bit too much, perhaps, on examinations like this, rather than continuous assessment or other ways of measuring. Or basically, it's not. There's measurement is one part of it, but it's also about trying to meet young people where their what their needs are educationally, and also to be able to kind of direct them into the right career and vocation and things like that. And all of these questions, is this the right way to do it? Are there other better ways of gearing our education around something different?
And we've talked previously on the programme about continuous assessment, but it has its own issues of fairness, that kids who have parents who are professors might do it. You know, there is something very fair about a blank sheet of paper in an exam hall for kids, that it's a great leveller, that, you know, it's very hard for anybody to have an advantage or a disadvantage there. But bringing it back to the people actually doing exams, first of all, can I ask you, does the stressing help at all? Does the stressing improve outcome, improve performance? Does it do anything positive for people, or is it all negatives and we should try and dial down the stress for all concerned?
No, there is a balance. Like what you're saying, stress can improve our performance in some ways, say in sports, even in kind of musical performance and job interviews, public speaking. What happens to our body during these periods of, say, acute stress, so like once-off periods of stress, can make us think a bit quicker. Our senses are a little bit more heightened. And in some ways, it can improve our performance, because the problem, though, with kind of a longer-term chronic stress can actually impede someone getting the best out of themselves in examination. Okay. So I know what you mean. We don't want to say there's no room for any stress in life for that, because there's lots of examples of where we need to perform and where stress can actually be a positive factor.
But there's a kind of
motivating, but there's a balance, it's a fine line.
Of optimum stress where you're in the zone and you're performing well, but when you tip over into toxic kind of levels of stress, then does that take from your performance?
Yes, exactly. And even one thing to consider is to kind of allow yourself to feel stressed and forgive yourself for it as well. I mean, one of the things that we're saying is that parents can be also affected. Of course, families are in general affected by major periods of stress in any one of the family's individual's life. But it's okay if that's happened. You might have gone into the year saying, look, we're not going to let this get to us. This isn't the be-all and end-all. There's lots of other routes to career and happiness in the future. But if you find yourself getting wrapped up in it and you find it's impacting your sleep and all of that type of thing, it's also okay, and it's very human to be caught up in it too. So just accepting that as well can sometimes be a bit of a relief. And also knowing that there is, as opposed to other times of adversity in life, we don't really know when they're going to end, but at least we know the date can be over.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
That's an advantage to it too.
Jennifer, do parents sometimes make it worse? You know, because parents do worry about the child who's studying too much or the child who's not studying enough, and they're bringing their own stress about their children to the dynamic in the house. Are there things parents can do to help this situation? And indeed, are there things that parents do that make this situation a bit worse?
Well, yeah, I mean, one thing is to give yourself a chance to kind of focus on how you're feeling about it, first of all, and the experiences you've had, say, in your life around any type of examination or performance, whether that's that you never sat them, that it was too much of a big deal for you, you would have preferred more pressure from your parents, to just notice, is there anything that kind of I experienced in my life around this, around education, that I might be carrying on now, that there's a bit of emotion left over, and that it might be difficult to see clearly how your child actually is, or your young person, because it's also about goodness of fit too. I mean, parents know their children the best, and they know that each one of their children are so different. So one of them might require like actual reminders to eat and sleep and things like that, because they're so intensely focused on academic things.
Yeah.
And another one might say, actually, will you put the timetable on the fridge and help me in other ways? So to trust that you know that each one of your children is different, but also to know that you are different from your child and they are different from you, and to allow maybe yourself to and give yourself, your child, a space to say, you know, what do you think of exams and how are you finding this, and to hear from them rather than just preempt or predict what you think they might be feeling about it.
I suppose that the parents who see the child studying too much and have to say, take a break, little Johnny, little Mary, they're probably worried about their child, but they mightn't be stressing about the exam. But for the parents that are looking at little Johnny who falls asleep in his bed when he comes home from school and doesn't seem to open a book, or little Mary who's always on her phone to her mates, what would you say to parents that are now stressing out themselves about their child who looks like they're not really on top of things and the exams are around the corner? Is there, you know, is there a better way than just yelling at them?
Well, yeah. I mean, first of all, it's understandable for parents if they do feel really super stressed out, because it feels like they're actually doing more worrying about it than their
yes.
young person. And often parents know, like, as I'm saying, why aren't you, you know, you need to do this. You know, it's not kind of effective, but it's hard to think of another way. But sometimes, first of all, to maybe try to understand why, first of all, and ask, I wonder why he's in bed. Is it kind of tiredness? Is it perhaps that he's actually overwhelmed or feels there's no point in even trying? Like young people they're always receiving a message in school, online, and listen to the radio and things like that exams are important. So they don't really need an additional reminder of this. So if it seems like they're not doing much studying, it's quite likely they do care and that they have complicated feelings about them. So, and again, trying to maybe invite the conversation of, you know, what and trying to maybe calm yourself a little bit before the conversation, if you are going to have a conversation with them.
So you're saying that even the ones that look like they're not studying, it's probably because they're not indifferent. It's because maybe they're in an avoidant cycle, or they're overwhelmed or something. Should you sit them down and kind of go, look, it's easy to be in that zone. Why don't we make a timetable? Or are there things like that to do?
Yeah, definitely. But again, asking your own person, like, would it help if I'm more on top of it? What do you think? Because getting them to, I suppose, try to figure out what they need from you is also really good practice for them to figure out, because they might know what they need around it. And so saying, you know, offering suggestions is one example, but it's good practice for young people. They probably acknowledge, yeah, I'm not doing much. Okay, I realize. So what is it that you might need from me? Here are some suggestions. Or do any of these fit at all? And because parents want to help them, if they feel like actually they could do well on this and it might get them to somewhere they want to go, you want to help them to do that.
Yeah.
And so it is kind of a balance. Right. But definitely having them maybe articulate with you what you might
yeah.
be able to, and in a kind of a non-judgmental way.
Frantic, screechy kind of way. Yeah,
exactly.
No, I hear what you're saying. Stay with me, Jennifer. Loads of people get involved. Arlene says, leave insert number two here. We're all calm. I decided with the first one not to put any pressure on and just be encouraging. It seemed to work. So doing the same this time around. Important, I think, to let them know it's not the be-all and end-all. I totally agree. John says, why are we stressing over stress? Stress is part of our everyday lives. Sure, we're overhyping it and creating a monster. All this psychoanalysis is an overreaction to what's normal. We tend to make issues. It's time to get real and accept. And Vincent is on the line. Vincent, you have a suggestion to make about all of this. Tell me what you think.
Yes, and of course, I think the bottom line in discussing examinations for secondary school students suggests that the whole system is out of kilter. Education should not revolve around stress and anxiety. it should revolve around enjoyment and challenge. Having said that, let me give you a hypothetical. On the 4th of June, say at 10 a.m., the exam paper in English is issued to every student across the nation.
Uh-huh.
Each student has an exam number. A specific example, the students in School A have their English exam taken to teachers in School B,
uh-huh,
and within hours of the completion of the English exam, and given to qualified teachers to grade the exam,
okay,
and vice versa. The upshot of this would be that within 3 days, the exam results from both schools are returned to their parent school. This will save the taxpayer over 5 million euros a year, as I understand the cost, and of course will eliminate totally the 68 days that is spent waiting for results.
Okay.
Very simple. Very simple.
Forgive me, Vincent. I see what you're saying, and so you're getting the results back a bit quicker or that. But I presume you're still paying the teachers to correct the exams. I mean, teachers get paid current. It's teachers who currently correct them.
Well, it's retired teachers and retired administrators who are paid exorbitant fees.
No, it's often teachers, because I have sisters and all that who are teachers. They take a couple of weeks out of their summer and they correct the papers. So they're already paid for this. How would we avoid the cost, is all I'm asking.
How would you avoid the cost?
Yeah.
It would be part of a teacher's salary to grade papers.
Oh,
that's
okay.
Not rocket science.
Okay.
A teacher teaches. A teacher then is qualified to grade the subject he or she teaches.
Okay. I think you get a big pushback from teachers, but I see...
Okay, with all due respect, you see, that's the problem with education in Ireland, and mostly with the media. They always come up with this line, there's going to be a big pushback. Of course there's going to be a big pushback when the system, I won't use the word corrupt, but the system is inefficient, to be very mild. Of course there's going to be pushback. You're not going to make serious change in an extremely important area of educating young people without pushback. Let me just close with this.
Okay.
The day after the exam results were released in 2017, a headline banner in the Irish Independent, page one, read, "Feeling stress, call counsellors or psychiatrists," and then it gives a 1-800 number. What in the name of God are we doing with 18 and 17-year-olds in the classroom that they need to call psychiatrists and quangos within hours of getting their results?
All right.
The whole system is topsy-turvy. And I think I've said enough.
All right. Thank you for that, Vincent. Thank you. I'm going to give the last word to you, Jennifer. We shouldn't be talking to psychologists or counsellors at all. It's all topsy-turvy. What do you say to that?
It would be nice if, I suppose, education, like a lot of what Vincent said there, if education was able to capture still the curiosity and development of a young person without kind of linking it to someone's self-worth,
yeah,
as to how they
it is stressful, isn't it? There's no two ways about it.
President Higgins was at the Young Irish Philosopher Awards the other day, and he mentioned about the kind of the idea of increasing philosophy in schools and young people learning for the sake of learning, and I think that's a useful way to go. But if where we can be of help in times of stress in young people's life, we will be there no matter what the cause.
Absolutely. Look, thank you for that indeed. That is Dr. Jennifer Twyford-Hines, clinical psychologist and chartered member of the Psychological Society of Ireland. 53106, are you stressed? Are your kids stressed? Is there a better way? Do you have life hacks for coping with your stress? We'd love to hear from you.